The other day I was in my office and I looked out my window and I saw a strange dog, and I didn't know where it was from, and then it hit me. I think I knew it was from our neighbor behind us here. And last interaction I had with this was that I went to their door and the mom of the house was fighting hard to keep the dog from getting me. So I saw this dog out there. I've got chickens. My neighbor has a dog on a leash out here, and I didn't want anything happening. So I went outside, and I got outside, and I was like, oh, yeah, what am I doing? What am I doing out here? And there's this little fear that struck me with this big brown dog, and I didn't know. And so I tried to act big and confident, and the dog ran away from me, and I felt good about that. But I started to kind of chase it a little bit around, not run, but walk just around the corner of it, and there he was. And then he kind of charged at me a little bit and stopped, and I was like, I better have an escape route here. So I unlocked the other door so I had a way out. So I share all this. Why? Because there was a fear that I had in my life, that in my heart, of this dog that I didn't know, and I didn't know what was going to happen, but I didn't want it around. And that fear could have two things in my life. One, it could, as I walk out there and there's this dog, I could be just paralyzed with fear, not able to move. I wouldn't be able to think what to do, where to run or not to run, and I could be in big trouble. Or the other thing is that the fear could just alert me, you know what? This is a situation where I'm kind of limited in my ability. I need to really think through this and be smart about this. So today, as we are here, the Lord has convinced me today to speak as on this subject of fear. And this is something that, as I read through the scriptures, we're going to be in 2 Timothy today. So as I was reading in 2 Timothy not too long ago, I came across the verse that we're going to be looking at today, and it really struck me about what God has not given and what God has given to us as His people. One thing that I'm pretty confident of is that we all face fear, that we all have fear sometime in our lives. Would that be a true statement? Would you agree that you've all faced times of fear, or have faced, or are even facing fear, times of fear in your life? And it goes across the full spectrum of life. As we talk about fear, let's realize something, that fear is an emotion. It's an emotional response that God has given to us. It's something that is not in and of itself necessarily a bad thing, but yet it's how we operate in response to it that is very, very important. Now, when I say God has given it to us, I mean that God has given us emotions. And sometimes fear is part of that. And sometimes a fear can warn us. And this is what I would like to define fear as, is fear is alerting us to our limitations. Fear is God's way of alerting us to our limitations. And then what do we do with that? I'm limited, therefore I freeze. Or I am limited, but my God is not. And you really see the difference in perspective there. So go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I always like context. It's helpful. And Timothy is a younger man in the faith. Notice I didn't say young. He's younger than Paul. He is someone that I believe Paul led to the Lord throughout his ministry. And 2 Timothy, we believe, is the last letter that Paul wrote, at least the inspired letters that he wrote and that we have a copy of here in our Bibles. Timothy, as if you would read all of this, you would get to know that Paul's relationship with Timothy is very dear. They're close. We understand that they are not together at this point. They are in separate places, longing to be together. But Timothy has a ministry he's been called to do. We believe that he spent a lot of time in Ephesus as one of the leading pastors and teachers there in that church. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. And I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Wherefore I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. The Word of God is a precious, precious thing. And I trust that you picked up on the tenderness between these men, between Paul and Timothy, and Paul's desire to see Timothy be successful in the ministry. We see there in verse 6 this clear calling that is upon Timothy's life. And this is important as we contemplate fear, because in this context, Timothy has been ordained or appointed, if you will. And you see this putting on of hands. That would have been the practice in those days of putting on the hands and appointing one to be a leader or elder in the church. And Paul encourages Timothy to put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up, fan the flame. In the original there, that idea of fanning the flame of the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. And we understand that gift to be directly related to Paul's input into Timothy's life. And then he follows with verse 7, which says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Now, how often does that verse come to mind when we're facing a stray dog? It didn't for me. Maybe the mailman in our midst does. But, you know, it doesn't always come forward. But God hath not given us a spirit of fear. This is a valuable statement. Because if we all are dealing with fear in our life, and when I say dealing with fear, it's something that characterizes our actions or the way we're making a decision or in our life, that's not from God. That's not something God has given. This verse, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. So God has not given the spirit of fear, but what has he given? And in the way the language is put, but God hath given a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. And so you have these two concepts, if you will, what God has not given and what God has given. This is important for us because, hey, if God's word says he's not given the spirit of fear, then what's left for me? What do I do? How am I supposed to handle this? Because fear happens, doesn't it? Fear happens in our lives. And I believe that Timothy probably was dealing with this, and why else would Paul have addressed this? In other words, Timothy, don't operate in ministry out of a spirit of fear. No, that's not what God has given you. God has given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. This word fear in this passage, this is the only place that you see the noun form of this word in the New Testament. And this word is, from what I can tell, always used to speak of a negative kind of fear. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know that the Bible says we are to have a fear of God, right? Yes? You understand? Yes, right. Good. We're to have a fear of God. Now, that can't be a negative kind of fear. So this is a different word. This is a fear that it speaks of a timidity or a cowardice. Now the form, another form of this word, the adjective form, is found in one of the Gospels, which I think will be helpful for us to take a look at this, just to understand the word that is used. So go to Mark chapter 4. I believe this is an account that is familiar to us. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. In the same day, when the evening was come, he says unto them, those are his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Now, are you feeling this? How many of you have been on a boat, out in a boat, on a lake, in a storm? I have, actually. I didn't like it. Boating's not my thing, I don't think. At least in a storm. And so you can imagine what was going on. Verse 38, and Jesus was in the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Are they afraid? Yes, they are afraid. They're afraid they're going to die. Now, something that is interesting too, when you think about Jesus, is I cannot think of a time in the Scriptures that it's ever recorded that we have a fear that Jesus fears. And this is why I believe that it alerts us of our limitations. Jesus doesn't have those limitations, but here's Jesus. He's asleep, and they say, "Help us! Do you not care about us? That we perish?" Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so cowardly? Why are you so fearful? This is the adjective form of this word. Why are you so timid? And notice what it's linked to. How is it that you have no faith? Well, it's the same idea, same word. This is in a real life situation that we see danger. We probably would be fearful. But there's Jesus. He's right there. And he challenges them, why are you so cowardly? How is it that you have no faith? Notice the link between this cowardice, this timidity, and no faith. These disciples were operating out of the extreme view of their limitations. They were going to die. There was no option. They could do nothing about it. Yet they neglected faith. And faith in the very one who was right there in the storm with them. Now, yes, Jesus rebukes them for their fear, this spirit of fear that overwhelmed them. And look at verse 41. And what's it say? And they feared exceedingly. That word is phobos. That's the word that is used for fearing God. It can be used for negative, but it's often used for the positive kind of fear. It's a different word. Isn't it interesting to see the change? When Jesus rebukes them for their cowardice, challenges them for their lack of faith, and their response is, we're fearing you exceedingly. And they said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see, folks, when we encounter fears in our life, and I know probably some of you are dealing with that emotional tussle, even now, some of you facing some health concerns and situations, possibly job situations, whatever it might be, and you're feeling the tussle in your mind, perhaps waking up at night with fearful thoughts. And I trust that this is an encouraging truth for you. When we are dealing with a spirit of fear, this is not something God is giving to you. That's an important truth. Call it like it is. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. God has not given us a spirit of fear or cowardice, but God has given us a spirit of power. As we think about power, what would this have meant to Timothy, this younger man in the faith and ministry, facing some of the challenging things in Ephesus? God hath given you a spirit of power, Timothy. Well, what does fear do to us? What is that spirit of fear? The spirit of fear has a paralyzing power upon us, where it paralyzes us to the point that we don't move. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to act. But here, in contrast to the paralyzing power of fear, we have the purposeful power of God. That God has given us His power through His Son, Jesus Christ. And Timothy can operate in that kind of confidence. God has given him a spirit of power. And what spirit are we talking about here? I believe this could be used to help describe the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit living within him. I mean, let's face it, the Spirit of God is God. And He's powerful. The Spirit of power. We also see here that God has given us a spirit of love. This is an agape love. An agape love that is not based on just mere passions. It's not even just based on, I'm related to you. It's based on a commitment that goes all the way. A commitment that demands sacrifice. And as we've been studying in 1 John, love in the church amongst the brethren and a love for God is so important. And so here, Timothy is understanding, I've been given a spirit of power, but I've also been given a spirit of love. Love speaks of relationships. love, this love is just not existing in a vacuum. This love exists because there's a relationship with a loving God who's loved us first. And there is relationships with those in the church that we are called to love. And so fear contradicts the sacrificial love with a self-love. With fear, we're caring about ourselves first. We get captured in our own hearts looking at the situation and saying, how can I redeem myself or get myself out of this situation? And so the fear becomes a severe distraction. And self-love becomes first. But yet, as believers, God has called us to sacrificial love first. To a sacrificial love where we are loving God and loving one another. So God has not given us a spirit of paralyzing power or of self-love, but He's given us a spirit of purposeful power and sacrificial love. And thirdly, we see God has given us a spirit of a sound mind. You see, looking through this has helped me understand fear a little bit better. What happens to me when my heart, when I see my neighbor, and I know that it's an opportunity to share the gospel with him, but I'm gripped by fear. What's going on in my life? There's a paralyzing power rather than understanding God's purposeful power. There's this self-love because I'm caring about what he thinks of me rather than loving him enough to go all the way despite what he thinks of me. And then there's the spirit of a sound mind that God gives his people. Whereas what does fear do? Fear distorts our mind. You can't think. You can't think clearly. And this is why I believe he uses these terms to help encourage Timothy, because he knows what happens when we are operating under the spirit of fear. We're not thinking clearly. We know that, right? You know that. And you're in a fearful situation. And you're limited. Your mind goes crazy. But that's not what God has given you. In Christ, God has given us the spirit of a sound mind. That is a mind that is whole and healthy. A mind that is able to discern the situation and act with great wisdom. Oh, never question the desire that God has to share His wisdom with you. What does James say? If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. The book of Proverbs is full of wisdom. But if we're operating out of fear, that wisdom is not thought of. It's not applied. But God has given us the spirit of a purposeful power, of a sacrificial love, and a sound mind. So what do we do when we're afraid? Understand that feeling is alerting you, I am limited. But instead of taking those limitations and internalizing them upon yourself, realize what God has given you. Power, love, and a sound mind. That you and I may operate with great courage in the face of incredible, terrifying situations. Church, there's going to come a time, perhaps it's in our lifetime, when we are going to be faced with very fearful things as believers. Some of those things have already been happening. And the world is seeking to cause us to be afraid, to operate out of that kind of spirit. Because what does that do? That weakens us, that renders us if you will, useless for the kingdom of God because we're afraid. May we remember this instruction. Is fear ever okay? Is fear ever a legitimate feeling to not be ashamed of? Boy, as I look at this, again, I think the spirit of fear may alert us to a situation where we need to really trust God, have a sound mind, and love sacrificially. How does this compare with the fear of God that the Scriptures so often speak of? We read of times when people are confronted with the glory of God and they fear. Just like we saw with the disciples, they feared Him exceedingly. What were they confronted with? They were confronted, yes, with their human limitations as compared to the limitlessness of God. And when you really understand who God is, no limits, and who you are in the face of this infinite God, the response is fear. But it's a fear of, I worship you, I need you, because I am so small, because I am so limited, because I am a frail human being. As I contemplated this, I thought of different people throughout the Scriptures. I thought of Moses. He didn't want to go to Egypt. He was afraid. Oh, and he put up a big fuss, didn't he? But what did God do? God proved it. God showed him great power right there. The rod became a serpent. What did Moses ran? Well, yeah, he's afraid. But as we watch Moses' life unfold, we begin to see him growing in this, don't we? And we see a man of great power. We see a man of sacrificial love. Boy, did he love those people. Those sinful, rebellious people. God gave him a sound mind because he operated in tandem with God. We can too, folks, because the very same God lives within you and me, His Spirit. And in His Spirit, there is great power. There's great love. There is the ability to really think clearly. So God, I thank You that we have Your Word and are able, Lord, to be equipped with such truth. God, I know there are folks in this body that are facing fear right now. The fear of the unknown, the what ifs. And God, it is gripping their heart and it is dictating the way they live. But God, that is not from You. But God, oh, would You convince Your people of Your power in their situation? Help them, Lord, to look beyond themselves, to loving You and loving others. So God, I pray You'd give them a sound mind to help them navigate through the trial before them. Oh, grip their hearts with these things, Lord, and with me. I so often fall prey to this spirit of fear. I thank you for showing us this truth, showing me this truth today. In Jesus' name, amen.